The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited. When they ran out of wine, since the wine provided for the wedding was all finished, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said, "Woman, why turn to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." There were 6 stone water jars standing there, meant for the ablutions that are customary among the Jews. Each could hold 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. "Draw some out now," he told them, "and take it to the steward." They did this. The steward tasted the water, and it had turned into wine. Having no idea where it came from, only the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said, "People generally serve the best wine first and keep the cheaper sorts till the guests have had plenty to drink. But you have kept the best wine till now." This was the first signs given by Jesus. It was given at Cana in Galilee. He let his glory be seen, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
So, usually, it is the case that we go to the sort of things that we like and we avoid the sort of things that we don't like. So, for example, I would go to a Neil Diamond concert if I could, but I wouldn't go to a heavy metal concert given the choice. Because our presence at, I don't know, a concert or a political rally, or at simply, you know, at somebody's party, is saying, by our action of choosing to be present, "I like this sort of thing. I like this person. I approve of this sort of thing. I approve of this person. This sort of thing, these political values, this person, whatever it is good." It is then significant that Jesus, who is God, important to remember that, he is God, not only attends a human wedding, but he works a miracle at a human wedding. And not only a miracle, but remember he says, "My hour has not yet come." And so it is his first miracle. He inaugurates his public ministry by his presence at a human wedding. By his presence, Jesus, who is God, is saying, "I like marriage. I approve of marriage. I think marriage is a good thing." But Jesus doesn't just approve of marriage. He takes the good human reality and he turns it into what we technically call a sacrament. Now, the sacraments are a great mystery. But at one level, we can think of the sacraments as signs of what God's love is like. They are moments when God directly communicates what his love is like to us. So what he does then is he takes something that is part of our normal human communication, and he picks it up and he gives it a new and divine meaning. It's like a human word has been taken up into the language of God. And in one sense, that human word remains what it is, but because it's been picked up into the language of God, it acquires an entirely new and deeper meaning. You know how the same word can have different meanings in different languages. So I did my first degree in Spanish, and I remember part of the degree was I went out to live in Spain for a year. And whilst I was there, I got invited to tea by a very lovely lovely Spanish old lady, and she invited me for tea at precisely 5 o'clock because she was convinced that that's what all English people did, that they had tea at precisely 5 o'clock. So we went along and had tea, and she put out this tea set, and she'd baked a cake because all English people eat cake with their tea. And so we had a lovely afternoon, and at the end of it, I kind of wanted to say to you, to this lady, thank you very much, I had a lovely time, and you know, the cake that you have just baked is beautiful and it was delicious, thank you very much for that. And I got a little bit confused, and I was sort of trying to remember, what's the Spanish word for cake, what's the Spanish word for cake? And I got my Spanish and my French a bit mixed up, my schoolboy French. So in French, the word for cake is gâteau, I believe. But in Spanish, gato means pet cat. And so I told this old lady that she had baked her pet cat in a particularly delicious fashion and that I had enjoyed eating her pet cat. I never got invited back. But the point is, those two syllables, gato, in one language mean one thing. And in another language, the exact same two syllables mean something entirely different. And so too with the sacraments. That which is a human act of communication gets picked up and taken into the language of God and means something, if not altogether different, something richer and deeper. So if you think about it, in marriage, in the normal human way of things, marriage is a celebration of unity in love. Two people decide to unite their life in love for each other. And because marriage usually leads to a family, it means that this unity in love gives new life and new possibilities for the future. But when God takes up this human reality, he says, this isn't just about the unity of two human beings in love. It becomes a glimpse of what it is like for God to unite himself totally to humanity. That's what the first reading is all about. He says of the people of Israel, you shall be called my delight, and your land the wedded, for the Lord takes delight in you, and your land will have its wedding. That's what that reading is about. It's about the unity of God and humanity. And it also means that this human reality, which brings forth new life, which brings forth a new future, becomes a symbol of the promise of the new life and the new future that God gives to us. A richer future, because it is an eternal future, and a richer life, because it is a spiritual, unbreakable life, not just a biological life, that God gives to us. And that means then, has two consequences. Because marriage is a sacrament, a sign of what God's love is like, it means that if you want to know what God thinks of you, look to a married couple. If you want to know what God thinks when he looks at you, look at how a husband and wife look at each other on their wedding day. In that absolute joy of being married and giving themselves to each other. And when God looks at you, that's how he looks at you. If you want to know what God's love is like, look at a couple after 50 years of marriage. Their knees creaking and their, you know, everything's getting a little bit saggy and baggy. But nonetheless, through all life's struggles, they are unbreakably together. And that's what God's love is like, because we're often a little bit creaky-kneed, and spiritually we're probably not at our best, but nonetheless God's love for us is utterly unbreakable. If you want to know what God's love is like, look at a married couple who love each other. And the second consequence, of course, is the enormous importance of this vocation. It is a beautiful and noble vocation. It is the vocation to proclaim the love of God by your life, by the way you give yourself to your spouse. And if it is your vocation, then thank you for your generosity in the way that you live that vocation. And God bless you for your generosity. And one final word, there are those who live their vocation to marriage in a way that perhaps because of circumstances can sometimes be perhaps not the conventional way or perhaps not the expected way of living the married vocation. Or perhaps because of circumstances they are living their married vocation in a way that is somehow wounded. And to those people, I would say, God sees that, and God sees your fidelity. He has not, and he does not forget you. And there is, it is important to remember, more than one way of faithfully bearing witness to the holiness of marriage. And if you are generous in your circumstances, difficult though they might be, nonetheless, God will be generous to you. And God will be generous to you according to his measure of generosity, which is infinitely greater than we can possibly imagine.